from Wisconsin Public Radio. This is Newsmakers. I'm Ezra Wall in our studios on the campus of UW-La Crosse. Today on Newsmakers, we're talking about some summer music series in several of our communities. There are ongoing performance series that last throughout the summer, and we'll be talking about three of those today on Newsmakers. Later, we'll be talking to Heidi Prestwood from the Sparta Area Chamber of Commerce about concerts in the park there in Sparta. And then later as well, we'll be talking to Christina Dahlhausen from the Vernon County Economic Development Department, and she'll be talking to us along with Justin Miller, who is a coordinator of Music in the Parks there in Vernon County. In Viroqua, and we'll be enjoying those two conversations later on Newsmakers. Here to kick it off with us is Terry Bauer, who is the co-founder of Moontoons, which is a wonderful series that is sponsored by the Valley View Rotary, and I'm glad to have Terry here on Newsmakers. Terry, thanks for being here.
Thanks, Ezra, for the opportunity.
Certainly. So Moontoons is a wonderful summertime concert series. It's in Riverside Park, and you are celebrating a really significant year this year. It's the 10th year of Moontoons.
Correct. We started in 2012, Ezra, as Noontoons, so we could have lunch music in the park over lunch. And for the first 3 years, that's what we did. The musicians were not happy because that stage at the time was a cement slab, and it's high noon and it's hot. The audience was very transient with lunch, half hour here, half hour there. And so they asked if we could move it to evenings. So we rebranded as Moontoons, and it's kind of like we poured gas on a fire because it took off.
It's I lived out of town for a long time after I was raised here. But I've been back in town the last couple of years, and have seen what goes on at Moontoons, and the crowds are really something. And you said moving from noon to the evening was kind of the impetus of that really growing into the big event that it is now.
100%, because the crowds now can sit down and relax and stay for the entire evening and enjoy the music. The scenery, it's been really adopted by the community. It's I call it the backyard barbecue. Come on to our backyard and kick back and enjoy an evening of great music and on the banks of the Mississippi.
Well, and I know a lot of musicians, and I'm sure you do too. And aside from all the reasons that you've just listed, noon is pretty early in the day for some of them.
Not only early, but they all have day jobs because it's hard to make a living as a musician. So they had to take time off of work. So they had everything going against them, the sun, the work. So yeah, moving to evenings was a home run. And then we partnered with Chef Chris Roderick at Piggy's because we wanted to have kind of an upscale food venue. Pearl Street Brewery was nice enough to step up, the Pearl ice cream. So our treats are very high level treats, which we prefer. And then we did the bike corral. I called Beer by Bike Brigade Mario Joaquim one day, Sunday morning, and said, hey, we'd like to have a free bike corral. And he called Smith's Bike Shop. And next thing you know, we've got a bike corral. So we get about 150, 200 bikes a night. People bike down to the park, check their bike in, go out and relax in the park. And then we hired Marty Severson. People may know him as Brucey Bumchuckles, and he's been the voice of Moontoons for about the last 7 years. TJ Petersley started this with me from Cheddarheads and the Pearl. He kind of lines up our musicians every, so we call it the Terry and Terry Show sometimes, behind the scenes. So, but this year we're excited. You know, that first year, Ezra, we went from June 14th all the way to September 28th.
Wow. It
was a big year for lunch, and of course, we've cut it back a little bit now. And I think on the 45th anniversary of Woodstock, we moved to a Saturday. And from 2 to 9, we do a Woodstock tribute. And that has been well attended. I mean, I was looking at some of the pictures from 17, 18, 19 before COVID, and the thousands and thousands of people at the park. We're bringing it back again this year on September 10th. It'll be a busy day in the park because Stepping Out in Pink will be there as well, 6 to noon. Then we'll be there from 2 to 9, and the Pride Fest will be there from 11 to 7. Plus, I think a riverboat will be in town.
Wow, that's a lot going in the park. And that's in mid-September. What was the date of that again?
September 10th.
September 10th, okay.
Yep.
So thinking back, you know, 10 years ago, you're just getting this kicked off. How did you get the idea of doing, at the time it was Noon Tunes, now it's Moon Tunes?
Yeah, my son lives in Gig Harbor, Washington, just outside Seattle, Tacoma. And we were downtown Seattle when I was visiting him, and they were doing music at lunch. And, you know, of course, Seattle goes down to Puget Sound. So the band was below the street, and you're up the street like in San Francisco or Duluth or Seattle. And you look out over the sound, and they're playing music. You're having lunch. So I came back to La Crosse, I think January 21st, I met with the city and pitched this concept. And they said, go for it. And June 14th, we had our first concert. We went to June 28th, and the city said, how did you do this? I mean, it's not even 6 months. And I said, well, TJ Petersley helped. So we had a committee of two, made a lot of quick decisions. We were very mobile. And then I did ask my club, Valley Rotary, to kind of be a sponsor, because I think we needed somebody just above two dudes doing this. and plus, we needed some manpower as we continue to grow. This year, we're raffling off an e-bike, which I think will be kind of fun as a fundraiser for our Rotary Club. And the e-bikes are so popular with our age group, which when I look out over the sea of people, there are a lot of them are gray hair like me.
Now, the e-bike is a bicycle, but it has that electronic assist when you need it.
Correct.
Okay.
And that's, we're getting it from Smith's Bike Shop because they've been such loyal supporters of our bike corral. So we're pretty. I really want to win it, but I don't think I'm eligible.
something tells me you might not be eligible, Terry.
I was really fortunate, Ezra. You know, I wanted this to be something special, as I told you about Piggies and Pearl Street and Pearl Street Brewery. So I asked TJ, you know, do you think Bill Miller would be interested? And so he gave me Bill's number and he said, call him. I never met Bill. And he took my call and I pitched the thing to him and he goes like, if my calendar's free, I'll be there. And I said, wait a minute. How about you open for us June 14th? Can you check that date? And he was free and he started and he'll be back this year on June 2nd. And he's bringing some indigenous dancers in from Milwaukee. And it's going to be Bill Miller and the Instruments of Peace. I think it's going to be a huge night for us. He did do a blessing for us last year because one of my thoughts, I moved here from Eau Claire in 97, and we had two or three band shells in Eau Claire, and I looked at Riverside Park, and I'm seeing a cement slab, and I'm going like, we need a roof. And so we started collecting money for the roof at Moon Tunes, and after 6 years, people are going like, are you going to do anything with this money and build a roof? And I said, we can't do anything until the city redoes the platform, and they finally did. And so we started in earnest the project to build what is you see there today, probably the world's biggest, best whole tree structure with phenomenal acoustics. Beautiful, beautiful. And the community built that. A penny from the government.
It is really, it really makes the entire band shell, it makes it the centerpiece of that park. And it really stands out in a way that's difficult to describe, doesn't it?
I think until you see it in person, you have no idea. I had some people in from the Twin Cities that were looking at space in downtown La Crosse. And I said, you got to go down and look at that band shell. And they sent me back a text and goes like, this is beyond what you told us. Yeah, you've got to see it. And you got to hear it. It's just a great acoustics.
Now, you mentioned that Bill Miller will be opening the season. And Bill is actually, I'm going to play a song by Bill Miller at the end of our conversation. So the audience will hear a little bit about it. But he's a singer, a songwriter, Grammy Award winner, and he has strong ties to the area, even though he's based in Nashville now, I think. But he's just quite an amazing musician. Who else do you have lined up that people might want to come out and see this season?
Well, we partner with Irish Fest. We were going to do this a couple of years ago, but COVID disrupted us.
Uh-huh.
Irish Fest wanted to bring their sponsors to a special event, thanking them for sponsoring Irish Fest. So they said, we want to come to Moon Tunes, and would you put some Irish bands from Ireland on your stage as kind of a tease for the weekend so people can say, we want more of this?
Mm-hmm.
So on August the 11th, we'll have the Byrne Brothers and the Boxing Banjos from Ireland on our stage.
Wow.
At Moon Tunes. So that'll be a real fun night.
I don't know the Boxing Banjos. I'm going to look them up, but I've heard the Burns Brothers. The Byrne Brothers. That's amazing.
Yeah. And then we're going to have, I'm a big Motown fan, and so Torrence Chester has done Motown a couple years ago, and he's bringing it back, and we're going to add some female singers to go with it. My age group, we like Carole King, John Prine, and Joni Mitchell. So we're doing a tapestry night. We got a country night, Big Liquor, Smoking Bandits, the executives who've been with us the whole time, and they've been so generous on other fundraisers I've done. They've always helped out. And we're bringing in High Mileage this year with Spanky and his group from Sleepy Hollow, Huddle in Viroqua.
Now, what kind of music is that? I'm not familiar with them.
That's kind of 60s as well.
Okay.
Rock and roll. And we're doing a blues night with Howard Guitar Lutke, Shufflin' Dupree's. I'm excited about this. September 1st. Mark your calendar. You're right there on the campus. Tammy Fisher is a friend of mine, and I wanted to do Tusk with a band. And I said, Tammy, how about the UWL Screaming Eagles?
Wow.
We're in. And Janie Morgan is in our club, and she works at the UWL as a foundation. And she goes, you know what? That could be UW alumni night too. So we're looking for September 1st to be a huge, and the students will be back. So I think you better wear your maroon colors to Moon Tunes on September 1st.
And cheer on the Screaming Eagle Marching Band.
Absolutely.
Wow, that's fantastic.
I think that's going to be a big one. I'm really excited about it. But then we're doing a Paul Simon Graceland feature, and that's a great record as part of the La Crosse Jazz Orchestra evening. With also, September 10th, as I stated before, Ezra, we're doing the Woodstock. We do have 20 new bands on stage this year. You know, we try to always have focused on local, and we did make an exception this year with the bands from Ireland, but how could you turn them down?
Terry, you've been involved with Valley View Rotary. You've co-founded Moon Tunes, involved with Downtown Main Street. Tell me how an event like this is a great event to bring people out into the community and help them interact with each other. But what role can an event like Moon Tunes or a series of events like Moon Tunes have in raising the profile of a place like La Crosse throughout the region?
I think it's just another event. You know, La Crosse is, to me, a retail arts and culture hub of the Driftless. A lot of people come here within an hour, to La Crosse. And this is just another reason to come to La Crosse. You know, July 21st is the executives on High Mileage, but it's also the first night scheduled that the new Viking cruise ship will be in town. And it leaves at 5 o'clock. So if you come to Moon Tunes, we're at 5:30 to 8. You'll be able to see it leave the port. You know, it's, 417 feet long, 4 stories high. I mean, it's a beautiful boat, and
yeah,
we're excited.
One of those big river cruise ships.
This is a river cruise ship, different than the paddle wheelers that have been. And the paddle wheelers are back as well. There'll be the Countess paddle wheeler will be here that same day. So that just adds another. It's always great. Everybody gets up and waves goodbye as it pulls away from the city. It reminds me of the Wizard of Oz, you know, like everybody waving goodbye to the.
Yeah.
So Dorothy, as she leaves town.
Yeah, I
tried to
get
them to stay, but they said we have a meal service at 6 o'clock, and people pay a pretty penny to be on that boat, so they get their meal service.
Yeah, they just don't know they're missing piggies.
Or a fun night of music.
That's right. And,
I know Marty always tells them as they're walking around that afternoon as we're setting up, he goes like, well, we do this every night here in La Crosse. Come on back. You got to know Marty to know that. But
I remember I was young when he was on the radio, but I remember. Let me ask you this, Terry, for people who, you know, haven't been keeping notes through our conversation, where can they find information about Moo Tunes as far as the concert lineup or maybe, you know, week to week updates?
Yep. Moo Tunes La Crosse, our Facebook page, and also under Cody, one of our musicians, Cody Apple, does videography for us and his videos. I mean, you go through some of those videos, you'd swear this was all some high price professional. I mean, he's switching cameras. He's doing all kinds of stuff. I mean, the videos are over the top good. He just posted one looking back at our 12 years. What is it? 10 years.
10 years. Yeah.
22 years of I've been in Rotary. That I talked about that this morning at Rotary. So that was in my mind, but 10 years. Bob Good was here for a while. Jim Lund, Mike Furr do our still photography and they post great pictures. I mean, if you just want to kick back and relax, go to Moo Tunes La Crosse and look at our videos. We also, if I can put a plug in for Mike Hayes, I'm with Mike Hayes every Thursday morning at 6:50 a.m. to talk about that night.
That's on WISM, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep. So that you can kind of get caught up that morning, and hopefully the weather forecast, it doesn't have rain in it. That's usually when Thursday mornings, Ezra, is very stressful if the weather's iffy.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Because we're outdoors. I mean, we have no options. And Chris has to prepare food, and, you know, he does 750 sandwiches. And if we cancel, you know, what's he do with 750 sandwiches?
Well, I could give him my address.
Okay, let's do that. We'll do that off the air.
Sounds good. Terry Bauer is the co-founder of Moo Tunes, and we've been talking about that series, which is coming up starting June 1st, right, Terry?
June 2nd.
June 2nd in downtown La Crosse at Riverside Park. Terry, thanks a lot for being with us on Newsmakers.
Hey, Ezra, we'll see you downtown.
Absolutely. This is Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio. If you'd like to get in touch with us, send us an email anytime throughout the week. It's newsmakers@wpr.org. That's newsmakers@wpr.org. As I mentioned, we're talking about some more music in some more parks around our area coming up next on Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio. Wisconsin Public Radio. This is Newsmakers. I'm Ezra Wall in our Southwest Wisconsin studios. As you've heard earlier on the show, we are getting outdoors and having some concerts this week on Newsmakers. We're talking to three different communities that have excellent outdoor concert series throughout the summer. And joining us now to talk about Sparta, where we will be visiting Concerts in the Park, is Heidi Prestwood, the executive director of the Sparta Area Chamber of Commerce. Heidi, welcome to Newsmakers.
Thanks so much. I'm glad I got to be here today.
Yeah, me too. So Concerts in the Park, it's been going on for a little bit in Sparta, and you've been in your role for a couple of years. So talk to me about what the first couple of years of your life with the chamber have been like running these concerts.
Yeah, so I came on during COVID, which, you know, nobody really enjoyed or liked, but this being an outdoor event, it took a lot of convincing with a lot of different people at different levels of city government and to get this up and going. So my first official concert was mid-July, and with COVID, making sure I had enough hand sanitizer and hand washing stations and space allocated for people to maintain that 6-foot distancing. And then bands that didn't want to play during COVID, you know, backed out. And then I had to find a new band to fill in at short notice. And because nobody had been playing, everybody wanted to come play. So I had to limit that a little bit. But overall, my first summer during COVID with Concerts in the Park went pretty well. I'm excited for it. I was excited for it. And then last year was my first full year We run the end of May to the end of August. So all summer long, it's like 17, 18 weeks worth of music every Wednesday night. We try very hard not to cancel concerts just because we do have a backup space, but not as many people come out to that. So we try full on every week to go through. And this year's lineup is pretty impressive, if I do say so myself. And I'm excited to let you know who's in on it.
Well, that's a great tease. And I'm going to tease it a little more by saying we'll get to that in just a minute. You came on right during COVID. And I know, as everyone else did, at the very beginning of COVID, everything was shut down and there were no concerts. And that was prior to your time. So when you came on board, did you feel like you were kind of almost like starting from the ground floor, starting all over again, or was it a bit easier because there was some sort of track record there?
It was a little bit easy. There was a track record. My predecessor kept really good notes, and it was easy to go in and look at those and compare how he did things and how I wanted to do things. So but starting a little bit from over, because my track record is I like to change things up and do things differently. So I had a nice baseline, but I knew where I wanted to take the series and what I wanted to do with it.
Well, everybody wants to put their mark on a thing, don't they?
Yes, exactly.
So you said that you were making sure that everybody was, you know, safe. Your first summer there, summer before last, making sure that all the parameters were met in terms of health requirements. What were some of the things that you remember having to do that, you know, you're out there getting ready for audiences to come and you're like, I can't believe I'm doing this?
I had that thought many times. You know, of course, social distancing was a big thing. And even though we were outdoors, people were still encouraged to wear masks if they wanted to. We also live streamed all of our concerts on Facebook that first year. So those that weren't comfortable leaving their homes could watch it on Facebook. We received a lot of great comments and feedback by doing that. And then bringing extra hand sanitizing stations through some local companies, and me being out there marking spaces in the grass with the, you know, grass sidewalk chalk type stuff, and Xing out the spots where people couldn't sit and keeping those spots available where people could sit. It took me a good half an hour, 45 minutes every week to go out there and paint orange lines in the grass. I'm grateful that, you know, the Parks and Rec let me do that. The city did allow me to do that, and making sure that I was following all the county guidelines and CDC and whatever I needed to do to make these concerts go off without a hitch. So that first concert, you know, attendance was down a little bit, but I get that because everybody was still a little nervous about coming out. But by the last concert, the end of August, it was jam-packed full, you know, 800 people in the park, 1,000 people in the park to watch the Pat Waters Band. So it's been, it was really something cool to watch happen unfold in my eyes. And it was, I'll never forget it.
Heidi Presswood is with us, the executive director of the Sparta Area Chamber of Commerce. And we're talking about concerts in the park. So tell me about where the concerts are and how many people that park can accommodate.
Yeah, so Concerts in the Park is in our local park, Evans-Bossard, which is on East Avenue here in Sparta, right along the La Crosse River, in the Kiwanis Band Shell. So the band shell is covered. There's shelters there, you know, because we do food and we do beer, and we've seen as few as 200, but when we have bigger groups, bigger bands come out, especially the last couple of years, we can see 1,200 to 1,500. There's plenty of space. There's indoor plumbing, so there are indoor restrooms to use. Lots of space for people to spread out. You know, people show up on their bicycles and their motorcycles, and it's really cool to see the different genres of music and the people that they bring. So
indoor restrooms to use is going to be a deciding factor for some people.
It is. It really is. I hate to say it, but it really is.
So you're starting up very soon, and you've got acts going all through the summer. How many weeks did you say?
We have 17 this year, this summer long. Every Wednesday is 7 o'clock.
So it's a full slate of concerts, as you mentioned, all summer long. And we may or may not have time to go through every week on the entire list. I know there's already been a concert on Wednesday, but the first concert that people will be able to attend as a result of our conversation will be next Wednesday, June the 1st. So tell me who's coming up.
Yeah, so our concert series incorporates a lot of local bands, and June 1st will be Shock Pocket. They play 90s and classic hits. And then SACS, our support area, Sparta Area Cancer Society, will be there doing concessions. Carlos Danger, they're always ever popular. New this year, though, with Carlos Danger on June 8th is a food truck. So we will be having a different food truck throughout the concert series, which I hope will elevate our series just a little bit more. June 15th is our first Art in the Park. So hopefully we can get some local artists to bring their art out and people can buy and sell and trade their local pieces.
So an art fair in addition to the evening musical performance. Is that still all going on in the evening, or does art fair start earlier? How does that work?
Nope, it's all going on in the evening during the concert series. So most people start showing up about 5:30, 5:45, and they get their food. And that's about the time we'll have the art there as well, so people can start looking through it and kind of make their way around during the music. So
what genres of music do you look for when you're trying to schedule performers?
A lot of everything. Mike Munson plays blues typically. We have the Mississippi Dutchman. They play polka. We had to bring polka back. Dirt River is a little heavier. They're July 6th and have a food truck. Weathered Pigs is 90s radio rock. And that night, July 13th, we're also doing Pets in the Park. So as long as you have nice, well-behaved pets, you're invited to bring your pets out to the park that night. Let's see, we've got, of course, our big act is Dueling Pianos. It's the new piano guys, and Dueling Pianos, they go back and forth with each other, and there's a food truck there that night as well. And of course the Pat Waters Band at the end of the season with their country music. So we try to do a nice variety of folk and blues and classic rock and 80s and 90s. We're trying to appeal to as many audiences as I can.
And it wouldn't be Wisconsin without polka. So
that's right.
There you go. So of all the different acts, a lot of them are, as you said, local musicians. What do you hear from them about having a good venue like this to get in front of a good local crowd and an opportunity to perform for their hometown people?
I do know that our weeks are limited, and you know, I try not to use the same local groups year after year, and giving some new groups and other groups a chance. People get upset when we don't have certain groups in the series, in the lineup.
So the public comes at you and says, why isn't my favorite person playing?
they do. And says, I'm sorry, we have to, there are other bands in the area, and I want to give them a shot too. So I spent a lot of the winter going to different concerts and local venues and bars and establishments to hear some new of the bands and trying to figure out how I wanted to move this year's concert series. So it's people get mad sometimes.
you talked about wanting to shape the series into something that you kind of dreamed that it could be. You know, building on the legacy of what has been before and not speaking negatively about that, what is your vision for what these concerts in the park can be?
So many years ago, concerts was more country polka music every week. And it was typically the same people that would come out for it every week. My vision is kind of reflected in this year's series in ultimately, as the director of the chamber, I'm supposed to bring new people to town. I want to bring people to town to stay, to play, to live and work. And having a more variety of music, including those 80s and 90s and classic rocks, and making sure I have a nice genre list is going to bring those different people to town. People travel from the South Side of La Crosse to come to my concert series. People come from Holman, and I know there's music going on all over, but ultimately I want to give people a reason to come to town to spend their money and maybe one day move here and live and play. And I feel that my concert series this year pushes a lot of that variety of people and businesses I'm ultimately trying to bring to town. So it's got a little, you know, a little hidden agenda, but ultimately it's a free event that we offer, and I like all kinds of music. Not that everybody does, but I have to be there every week. I might as well be able to enjoy myself.
Might as well like it, huh?
That's right.
So exactly. I know everybody's been actively taking notes as we've gone through the list of people and dates and everything. But in case they haven't, why don't you tell me where people can find the list of who's playing and which nights the concerts are on. Well, they're on Wednesday nights, but yes. where people can find that information.
Yes. If you go to bikesparta.com, which is our website, and signature events, and if you scroll to about the middle of the page, it says concerts in the park, and there is a button to click that says 2022 schedule found here, and it will ultimately bring up our concert poster. So it tells you who's playing when, and the different food and the food trucks that will be available, the special nights, the art in the park, pets in the park, and then our vintage car show. Those are all of our themed nights this year. And then, of course, all of our sponsors are located at the bottom of that as well. So all that information is found on that link. So.
And if people have questions, are you guys on social media, or what's the best way to connect?
Yes, we are all over social media. We have our Facebook page. There is a contact page on our website. And we have Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, LinkedIn. So you can find us just about anywhere these days.
Heidi Prestwood is Executive Director of the Sparta Area Chamber of Commerce. Heidi, thanks for talking to us about concerts in the park.
Well, thanks so much for having me. I hope to see you all out there.
This is Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio. You can get in touch with us anytime throughout the week by sending us an email. It's newsmakers@wpr.org. That's newsmakers@wpr.org. Our program continues in just a moment. It's Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm a switchblade renegade. My heart's buried in the junk you're covered in. From Wisconsin Public Radio, this is Newsmakers. I'm Ezra Wall in our studio in La Crosse, and I am pleased to be joined by two guests from Vernon County who are involved in the Music in the Parks Summer Concert Series in Vernon County. That's the topic of today's show. We're getting outside in the parks and experiencing some music in our communities. If you'd like to let us know where the music goes on in your community, send me an email. I'd love to hear about it. Newsmakers@wpr.org. That's newsmakers@wpr.org. Joining me now is Justin Miller, who's the coordinator of Music in the Parks. Justin, thanks a lot for being here.
Thank you for having us, Ezra. Pleasure.
Also, Christina Dahlhausen, who is the Vernon County Economic Development Coordinator. Christina, thanks a lot.
Thank you for having us.
So, Justin, tell me, Music in the Parks, you've got multiple parks going on there in Vernon County this summer.
Yeah, the whole idea is to highlight our county parks in Vernon County. We are representing the Friends of Vernon County Parks and Forests Group, which is our local nonprofit. And two of the parks that we highlight in our music series are Sidey Hollow and Asofia Rents Memorial Park. Those are two that have pavilions with electricity, so those are the two we use.
How many performances are there going to be this summer?
This summer, we are running every Wednesday from June 1st through September 7th, so that, I believe, is 15 total events.
And so that's coming up this Wednesday and running through pretty much the whole summer.
Exactly, yeah. We're really excited to get things going again. Last summer was a huge success, and we just hope to build off of that momentum we we had last year.
Christina, was last summer the first summer that this was in effect?
Well, actually, this started the pandemic year, 2020. And, you know, basically everybody's on hold and trying to figure out things to do. Obviously, I'm in economic development and tourism and wanting to make things happen. But of course, we were at a standstill. We just decided, hey, let's see if we can do something about our parks where we can socially distance and have outdoor. Obviously, we have a great music community around here. So we started four of them in, I think, like August and September of 2020 between Esopia and Sidey Hollow. And we brought nearly 100-150 at each of those events. And we're just like, wow, this is a great way for the community to get together and see these musicians. And then we just took it to the next level last year, and we're taking it to another level this year. So,
wow, that's great. So, how far afield do you reach to find your performers? Are they mostly local bands, or where do they come from?
You know, yes, we do have a few locals in there, the local favorites, you know, that have a real draw around here. But we also have been drawing from Madison and Appleton and La Crosse, obviously. I would say regional. But the thing is they are coming to play for donations. But these musicians know that they're getting a pretty good payday on a Wednesday because of just the success of these music in the parks.
And so they're coming to the park, they're playing in the park, and it's attracting people to the park, which is the whole goal, as Justin was saying. So Justin, what does an event like this mean for the community, for the people around Vernon County that benefit from this?
Oh, it's amazing. Folks of all sorts come to these events. It doesn't matter. Music, I think, is the big binder of our community. And that's what I really took out of last season, is seeing everybody from the community come. It's beautiful. We have local food vendors that come out, so we're supporting local businesses. We support the local breweries and selling their products. It benefits a wide variety of folks.
Talk about the musicians who come. What genres are represented throughout the series?
Sure. Well, we're starting things off with Tug out of La Crosse, a local favorite, a little reggae rock. Crooked Willow, week two, is a four-piece kind of bluegrass band. We have some rock and roll with Eric Tesmer coming all the way from Austin, Texas at the end of the summer. Work out of Madison is a great six-piece funk band. Goodness, the Freaks of Nature, they've been a band for about 22 years around Viroqua. They're incredible. They play everything from Pink Floyd, Bob Dylan, the Beatles, all sorts of fun stuff. We have the Iowans, including Miss Christina Dahlhausen and her cousin Katie, just a duo, and they might bring out the Secret Weapons this year. They're a great band. So all sorts. We try to mix it up so everybody kind of can come for a week and enjoy their type of music.
Christina, Justin mentioned your band, the Iowans. How long have you been a musician?
Oh, I've been a musician since I could speak, actually. I used to sing all around the house, and I picked out tunes on the piano, you know, played by ear. And then, you know, I got into playing music, you know, folk music, writing my own songs, like singer-songwriter stuff. And then eventually, you know, I always did that with my cousin Katie, who's also the other Iowan. And we finally have decided to, you know, put our band together and put our songs out there. And, you know, we're really playing some really great gigs, including music in the parks this summer. So we feel pretty special, really close, like sister kind of harmony kind of thing that we do.
Yeah, so. It's interesting when people who are related to each other perform music together. There's often a synergy that you find in that doesn't exist among other bands.
Yeah, and I guess this is just kind of funny that I live here, obviously, and I'm helping organize these music events, but I'm also kind of putting myself in the act. So it's not completely self-serving, but it also sure helps if they're looking for an extra musician, I raise my hand.
Well, we love talking to musicians on Newsmakers, and you're the only one on this week. So I'm pleased that you are, I'm pleased that you have included yourself. About that, let me ask one more question about your music before we find out about the rest of the series. When you and your cousin are working together as the Iowans, are you bringing songs and your cousin bringing songs, or are you writing together, or how does that work?
Actually, it's more, we collaborate a little bit, but mostly I'm writing the songs, you know, in my basement, and then come up with the tune, and then I'll share it with Katie, and then she'll go, that's a hit, or that's not going anywhere, you know, and then. And she just adds her, you know, exclamation points to it. She plays a clawhammer banjo. I play guitar. And then, of course, we sing those super sweet, tight harmonies.
So in addition to the Iowans, Justin, you talked about Tug being first out of the gate this week, Tug from lacrosse. What are some of the other high points of the series?
Every week is a high point, but we have Tug coming in. We got a new band, which is a psychedelic country band called Texas Toast. They're kind of like an all-star band out of Madison. I'm super excited about.
Psychedelic country. You're going to have to explain that one to me.
I don't know if I can. we'll see when it happens. That is going to be June 15th at Sidey Hollow, so I'm pretty excited about that one. We got Greg Hall and the Wrecking Ball coming up July 13th. Another local favorite out of La Crosse area. He's been slaying that guitar for a really long time. Flipperty Gibbet, also another local band that I'm excited for. They're new to the list this summer. And then we do have a September 7th, which is kind of a to be announced yet, but a big band out of the Madison area. So we're really excited about that.
So you're giving us a little bit of a cliffhanger here.
A little bit, yeah. we're going to keep it a secret for as long as we can.
How does a night work at Music in the Parks? What time does everything get started, and what goes on? Is it, you said music, is there some food available and other stuff?
Yeah, absolutely. We'll be highlighting this year, maybe Lately's, which is a restaurant in Viroqua here. Driftless Provisions will be available a few weeks. They do local charcuterie, sausages, so they'll be grilling up some food for us. Dave's Pizza will be joining us, serving slices of pizza. So everything kicks off. Usually people start filing in around 5 o'clock. Music starts at 6. We rock for a couple hours, usually around 8 to 8:30. We're kind of wrapping things up. So it's a few hour event.
And you should know it's a free for all, you know, and anybody can come, you know, all ages. We see families running around, you know, kids. There's obviously little streams and whatnot for them to play in, and playgrounds for kids to play on. And so it becomes like a real family affair. Of course, people bring their friends. But what I really loved about like last year and the years is like it's all ages. Even like the teenagers that are too cool for school are showing up at these events, you know, and just dancing and having a great time with their community. And again, it's free. Yes. You know, if you want to eat there, you know, you can purchase some of the local food or drink some of the local beer, but you know, there are people that actually bring their own picnic lunch, and that works out just great.
Oh,
too.
That's right. I keep forgetting this is in an actual, just in a park. So there, you know, there aren't the same kind of restrictions that you find at another venue. Like if somebody wants to bring their sandwiches and load them up in the basket with the kids, that's okay.
Absolutely. That's the beauty of it, is you can kind of have your own time.
You talked about earlier, Christina, the bands that come and play. You know, it's a free event that people can come to, but the bands are hoping that people will offer donations. How does that work? Is there like is it just, you know, walk up and do that kind of thing on the stage, or is there somebody walking around passing a hat, or?
Well, Justin is actually an expert at walking around with the bucket to get people to donate, but people are super, super generous. Yeah, there is a donation bucket like right in front of the bands. And then of course we walk around the crowd a couple times. We do actually two different kind of donation deals where there's actually donations where you can give right back to the Friends of Vernon County Parks to help us like improve and enhance and continue these events and continue like improving our parks. And then also there's another bucket to where it goes directly towards the bands. And bands make out pretty well for a Wednesday night. So just because everybody is so generous and they're just, it's a wonderful time.
I would think that having somewhere to play on a Wednesday night I mean, you don't, if you can go home with pizza money on a Wednesday night, you're doing pretty good as a musician, aren't you?
You absolutely are. That's actually kind of been a, I don't know if we got it on the t-shirt this year, but I think almost every time we had this little motto that we'd say, or a little line that we'd say, it's like, not too bad for a Wednesday.
And, nice. I like that. Yeah. So tell me, if people want to see the lineup, if they need some more information about the series, where can they find that, Justin?
Sure, they could find us on social media. The Friends of Vernon County Parks and Forest is our page. And then also throughout town, we have flyers and posters up at local businesses. So they could find that just walking downtown through Viroqua or on social media.
And are their county parks, are both of the parks like near the city? Like if you're driving through Viroqua, would you easily be able to find it?
Yes. Sidey Hollow is located off of Double X. So out of Viroqua, you would take 56 South to Double X and follow the signs. Christina makes some real pretty music signs so people can follow those. And then Asofia Park is located off of County B, which is in between Viroqua and West B. So both are pretty easy to find. There will be location available on our event series as well on social media.
So music in the parks isn't the only thing that's going on in Vernon County this summer in terms of great music. You're getting into the street festival mode of music with another series that you're producing called Live in Viroqua. Tell me all about that, Justin.
Last March, I was hired as the manager at the historic Fort Main, kind of run the lounge that I am sitting in right now. And I was looking out the window onto Court Street and thought, wouldn't it be nice to have a stage out there and set up some music in the streets and have a little block party for the community? And that kind of idea snowballed, and I asked some of the right people that followed in the vision, and we're kicking that off Saturday, June 4th with Joseph Huber Band and a couple openers, Pat Ferguson and Christian Staley from the Lacrosse area. Super excited. It's gonna be amazing. It's been a long time coming, and we're just really excited to get it going.
So Christina, you and Justin are actively involved in coordinating this additional musical output in Viroqua. What's it like to see things like this? I mean, Viroqua's becoming a pretty happening place.
Yes. Well, it was kind of happening before we started these things. We're just building on that momentum, but we are a music mecca. And we're just claiming it as such, because this music that's happening, the musicians that want to play here, the people that love the music, and like how Justin said before, of how music does seem to bind this community together. And of course, it's great for the residents that live here, as well as like visitors that come, you know. So we are really lucky to live in a place like this, to be able to, and also to be able to have these shows. But yeah, it's exciting. And being able to have music downtown, and of course working with great like-minded people, it all kind of comes together great. I also want to note that this particular series is put on by, you know, local businesses that are putting the money up front for it, so that's pretty great too. So we have all these great sponsors and volunteers, and you know, I think it's going to be a huge success.
And if people want to find out more about that information, how do they find out about Live in Viroqua?
Social media would probably be the best bet, either Facebook or Instagram. We have a great social media lady, Brandy. She does all of our posters, all of our posts. So she's kind of getting that that vibe out on the internet for us. So yeah, just look up Live in Viroqua, and all the events will be listed there, times and dates.
And Dead Horses is coming on Railroad Avenue, so that's a pretty great big name. Chicken Wire Empire is coming to Court Street, and again, yeah,
them Cooley Boys.
Yep, them Cooley Boys. Yeah, some fantastic big names.
Wow, those are some really cool artists. I look forward to seeing some of them.
Yeah, it's going to be great. I'm really excited for Heatbox August 6th.
August 6th. Okay, well we'll mark that one down.
Yeah. So people could follow those links and figure out where to go.
Justin Miller, coordinator of music in the parks, and Christina Dahlhausen, Vernon County Economic Development Coordinator. Thank you both for talking with me about music in the parks.
Thank you, Ezra. Great.
It was an honor. Thank you so much. I hope you guys can come out.
Certainly. This is Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio. There are a couple of times to catch our show every week. We're on a Friday morning at 10 on the Ideas Network 90.3. We're on Friday evening at 7 on NPR News and Music 88.9. And obviously, we're always online at WPR.org/newsmakers. Our producer is Dawn Jewell. I hope you join us next time for another Newsmakers right here on Wisconsin Public Radio. So far along yesterday, but then you came along, and everything's all right. Come on, tell me, could this be a dream on this starry night?